Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Tuesday, October 25th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that webpage and click on the two words that say Start Here on the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one where people have been stepped through that worksheet process. If you choose to listen to those, they can serve as a tutorial for how to get the most out of these tools. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And if you choose to tap on that before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you choose to tap on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app. That app will contain the Reality Management Worksheet. It will contain an abbreviated version of that worksheet process. And it will contain a copy of the Drag-On, Cling-On game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. And we hope that people do that soon and often because it tends to improve the quality of people's lives as they use these tools, and also because it tends to prompt comments, questions, answers, and testimonials. And if you have any of those to share with us, please do so. Give us a call at 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, it'll put the little icon of a hand by your phone number. I'll turn on the microphone and announce you by your area code. Alternatively, you can send us an email. You can email me at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. You can email Jeannie at jeannie@whyagain.org. That's whyagain.org. So, do that. Let us know how we can be of service to you. Give us a call, press 1. Yesterday, as we were doing the Working Through the Way of Mastery, we finished reviewing or reading for the first time, Lesson 25. So this is a good time to take some comments or questions, check in with people about how they're finding this of use and how they're using this in their lives, and just take a pause before proceeding. This coming Thursday and Friday, I will not be available for the show, so they will be best of shows or repeat shows. Actually, what's going to happen on Thursday, if it goes according to plan, is that I will play the reading I did years ago of me reading Lesson 3, which is a pivotal lesson, as far as I'm concerned, in the way of mastery, because it provides the working definition for an explanation about the process of forgiveness. And the process of forgiveness in this work, according to my eye and ear, is exactly the same as the process of forgiveness that Michael Rice uncovered from the Kabir's manuscript and also found in The Course in Miracles. And that process is essentially the dismantling of negative perceptions, or any perception that leaves the individual who creates it feeling a negative emotional state. And there's a lesson in The Course in Miracles that says, open a curtain in your practice, you know, cancel everything you think you want, your trifling treasures put away, and leave a clean and open space for the Christ mind to come. And in combination with what Dr. Michael Rice learned from the translators that were working with the Kabir's manuscript, translating it directly from the ancient Aramaic into English, and they agreed that the definition for the word that got translated several different ways and then eventually into the word forgiveness was shebag, which means to cancel, to put aside, to dismantle. And when Dr. Rice heard that, and then he went back to what he had read numerous times in the Course in Miracles, he said, oh my gosh, your trifling treasures put away and leave a clean and open space for the Christ mind to come. That's the same as this definition of forgiveness from the ancient Aramaic in the word shebag, to cancel, to put away, to put down, to dismantle. And so that convinced him that the original source, the original consciousness that gave rise to the early teachings in this Kabir's manuscript, which is the oldest known copy of the New Testament, and the consciousness that channeled or gave rise to or shared whatever is in the Course in Miracles, that was enough to convince Dr. Rice that these are the same consciousness. And so the validation was there for him, and he built and continued to strengthen in his mind and his teachings that this is the true meaning of the word forgiveness, and it's a path to liberate ourselves, to have an entirely different experience of the power of our minds to create our emotions and ways that we as individuals can learn to work with that to our great advantage. And that's been the core of this work ever since. And of course, it's contained in what Dr. Rice calls the Reality Management Worksheet. And the understanding of how all of that works, all the processes around it work, is also what gives rise to the other tools that he promotes, which are things like what he calls the Mind Shifter tool, which I've referred to as targeted journaling, and the tool of the one that he presents in the Codependence to Interdependence worksheet, where he has people list everybody who's ever offended them and what they did to offend them, and what their punishment thought is for the person, and what their advice is to the person. And he's doing that through the realization that we don't see the outside world. We see a picture that our mind creates about the outside world. We see what neuroscientists today will tell us, that the vast majority of information that goes into making up the pictures our mind shows us, 80% or more of it comes from our past. It doesn't come from the stimulation of the nerves in the eye by the light waves that hit the eye. It comes from parts of the brain that register our memories. And so without any exaggeration, most of us are not living in the present moment. We're living from images of our past, and we're living as though we know what's going on, but we don't even understand how we're creating our own perception. And so all of this work that Dr. Michael Rice has been promoting weaves into it what our current neuroscience tells us, what our great philosophers and theologians have told us, what our great psychologists have told us, what the study of perception can tell us, and what ancient wisdom from teachers like Buddha and Yeshua and all of those teachers from our past who have said, look inside and peace is the real path. So on Thursday, I'll play the recording of me reading Lesson 3. And Lesson 3 in the Way of Mastery is about forgiveness as a tool. And it says, you know, the title of the lesson is The Power of Forgiveness. And it gives as a definition for forgiveness in that lesson the following. To forgive means to release another from the perceptions you have been projecting upon them. In your own mind, you create an image of them with your projections. And the text goes on and reads, it is therefore an act of forgiving one's self of one's projections, meaning dismantling the false projections you're making and then trying to convince yourself that those projections are the truth about someone or something outside of you. So if you're dismantling the false projections that are the creation that we call perception, every time you do that, you take yourself deeper and deeper into the purity of your own consciousness. And you begin to see how deeply, how profoundly, how intensely you've been coloring and therefore affecting all of your relationships through the simple act of not being aware of the power of projection. If you're not aware that you're actually literally creating pictures in your mind that don't exist anywhere but in your mind. And then your mind is trying to convince you that that picture that it's showing you is about someone else, is the truth about the external world. If you don't understand that that's all false, then you can't see how deeply you have been coloring and affecting and literally creating your experience with other people. You're not experiencing other people. You're experiencing your own projections. And we were at that very same point in Lesson 24 and Lesson 25 where it says, you don't experience the outside world. You experience only your judgments. So on the one hand, it strikes people as very complicated and very intense and there's going to have to be all of this work. On the other hand, it really couldn't get a whole lot more simple. As one of Dr. Michael Rice's previous worksheets had the line in it that said, if I'm in pain, I'm in error. His more recent worksheets, he's evolved it because he's gotten a lot of pushback from people. And so he says, it's easier for people to understand. If I'm in pain, my thinking is in error. Another of his older worksheets said, the truth is, my reality is strictly internal, it's unique to me, and is created out of my own thoughts. A little bit later on in that same worksheet, there's a line that says, with blame, I hide my power. What's the power I'm hiding when I blame somebody else for my experience? I'm hiding the power that I have to create my own experience. Because as it says a little bit earlier on, the truth is, my reality, the pictures my mind shows me, is strictly internal, it's unique to me, and is created out of my own thoughts. So, how can I wake up to that truth? Well, one good way that I've found to wake up to it is do the work, do the exercises that are laid out in the way of mastery, because this literally has us observing how little we actually know. Turning the mind in on itself to see what we're doing with our perceptions. Waking up bit by bit. And the good news is, once I truly, fully wake up, I realize I've been creating all of the upset that I've been experiencing. And if I don't like the upset, then I can start to choose again and create differently. So again, our calling number is 563-999-3581. This is a wonderful time to have a little discussion, see how things are landing with people before we either go back and reread Chapter 25 or forge ahead into Chapter 26 and or take your questions or comments about anything that we've talked about over the past 11 and a half years and counting. There is plenty to discuss, plenty to support you with. I had somebody in my office earlier today, and the idea about deeper and deeper levels of honesty was hitting home for this person. And the need for it in his life, and the benefit, the more he was able to bring himself to do that. Area code 513, you're in the air. Who do we have? Area code 513, I turned on the microphone. Was that intentional that you raised your hand? If you're speaking, we cannot hear you. I heard a click. All right, I will mute the microphone again, and if you want to talk, area code 513, please press 1 twice on your phone, once to take the hand down and once to put the hand back up. And we'd be happy to have you make a question, a comment, an answer, or a testimonial. Because as I say, it makes it far easier to know we're on track with this work. As I mentioned, I will not be here for the shows on Thursday or Friday of this week. I've mentioned that on Thursday we'll play my reading of Lesson 3, which will not have commentary. It'll just be the reading of Lesson 3. It introduces the definition for forgiveness. And then on Friday, we're going to take a big chance that people are going to get angry again, and we're going to play the show from August 8th, which just spontaneously turned into a review of the first 19 lessons in the Way of Mastery. So we have today and tomorrow to take comments or questions, and then Thursday and Friday of this week, it'll be a replay for the first hour. All the more reason to call 563-999-3581 and raise your hand. Press 1 and get your comments or questions in now while we're still live. I'm hoping that not in the not-too-distant future I'll be able to do an interview of Laura McGowan for her second book, which is publishing later on. It's already, they're accepting pre-orders. Push Off From Here is the title. And she's someone that I thoroughly enjoyed interviewing for her first book, We Are the Luckiest. And that was one of two books, We Are the Luckiest by Laura McGowan and Untamed by Glennon Doyle, that really struck me a couple of years ago because they were both so powerfully, they had powerful segments about the difficulty about really being honest at deeper and deeper levels. When we wake up to the importance of being honest and we make a commitment to being honest, we have no idea what that journey is going to be like. And we have no idea until we start looking at it in a focused, persistent, consistent way, how many times and ways we are not being honest with ourselves and others. And the team, Gay and Kathleen Hendricks, come to mind as I say that because they're a team of mature therapists, coaches, counselors, whatever you want to call them, for couples work. And they went on Oprah once, and the Oprah audience almost stormed the stage to do them physical harm simply because they recommended complete open honesty in relationship. And that the concept of being completely open and honest with your partner was something the audience began to use to generate all kinds of anger. And Gay and Kathleen Hendricks just said, "This is, we're not telling you you have to do this. We're just telling you it's been our experience that the more deeply, profoundly honest and open someone gets with their partner, the more it increases intimacy. And at every level where I withhold or I have an impulse or a thought that says, oh, I shouldn't tell them that. Oh, they wouldn't like it if they heard that. If I withhold that, whatever that thought is, I choke off a little bit more of the potential for building intimacy in that relationship, whether it's a business relationship, a friendship, or an intimate relationship. This doesn't mean you have to share every thought that comes into your mind. And it certainly doesn't mean you have to share the thoughts that come into your mind with irritation or abruptness or rudeness. One of the best ways I know to temper this and create a good frame for any sharing that I do comes from I first heard it from Brené Brown, where she said, the story I'm telling myself now is, so here's what's going on in my head, and I realize it's just a story I'm telling myself, and I realize that whatever emotions I'm creating that I might be experiencing are my own creation, and here's how I'm doing it. Here's the thoughts I'm using. I had another person in my office today. I was introducing them to the 5-step mental short version of the reality management worksheet. And again, he was just flabbergasted, and he kept jumping to, but what if he or what if she or what if they? And I just said, this is just about what's going on inside of you. And whenever you realize that you don't like how you're feeling, you're tight, you're tense, you have any kind of negative emotion, you can take the calming breath that we encourage people to take, turn the focus inside yourself and ask yourself, what emotion word would I put on this sensation? Every time you are creating a negative emotion, it will be because you've been pouring your mind energy into a specific thought pattern. So step two is, what's the thought I'm using to create and experience this emotion? Every time I correctly identify a thought that the more mind energy I pour into it, it generates a negative emotion, that thought is going to contain a negative, excuse me, that thought is going to contain a goal that's not getting met. And so, step three is to identify the goal that's not getting met in the thought that I'm using to create the negative emotion. And then I take a breath and soften and I move to step four. Step four is, I just say the words, I cancel my thought and I cancel my goal, and I ask to be shown the hidden part of my own mind that's actually creating this experience I'm having in this moment. The experience I'm having in this moment, as the Way of Mastery points out, very early in the first lesson, in the fifth page, it says, nothing that you experience is caused by anything outside of you. You experience only the effects of your own choice. So here we are in the reality management worksheet. In the mental short version, in the third step, I cancel the thought that I'm choosing to pour mind energy into. I cancel the goal that isn't happening. And I ask to be shown the hidden part of my own mind that's actually creating this negative emotional experience and basically everything about my experience of life right now. And then I just breathe and soften and gently repeat as I cancel my need to be right. The full-blown patter is available on the MindShiftersAcademy.org website on the educational materials page where it says, I cancel my need to be right. I cancel my need for anyone or anything to change, including myself. And I specifically cancel my goal in this worksheet. And then you just breathe and soften and notice what happens. Maybe you go blank. Maybe the intensity goes down. Maybe it goes up. Maybe you flash to an event earlier in your life that had similar dynamics and emotions. All of it's okay. And the fifth step is now take a breath. Think the most loving thought you have, the most loving memory you have from any time in your life, recent or distant past, and breathe and soften. When I did that with this gentleman in my office earlier today, he's in his 70s, almost everything about his appearance and his energy level shifted and transformed. He didn't have any great insight. He didn't flash back to something from high school or in his 30s, or he's in his 70s now. He didn't flash back to something when he was in early grade school. He just felt more relaxed. He felt less sad. He came in quite sad. He's life events in his life. He came in and announced he's feeling very low and sad. But just stepping through that process can have such power for people. It doesn't work for everybody and it doesn't work all the time. And yet, more often than not, the people I've worked with, and when I've used this tool in my own life, it dramatically changes my energy level in the moment. Even though moments before or minutes before, my mind was telling me, you know what, I'm only feeling this because he or she did this or that or won't do that or this, or because of this life situation. Which, of course, gets demonstrated to me as false when I do the worksheet process and nothing on the outside has changed and yet my inside feels differently. And that's the experience that this gentleman had in my office today. The willingness to say, I don't know what's right and what's wrong. I cancel my need to to be right in this situation, and I ask to be shown what's actually going on inside me. What is the process that's creating this negative emotion? And the more I do that, the more I use that worksheet process, the better my life gets, the better most of my relationships get. The gentleman, even after he felt better, even after he was sitting there clearly with a smile on his face and more relaxed, immediately then he jumps to, but what if my partner doesn't do this? And I said, that's up to him or her. You are the one who creates the internal experience that you call emotions. And you do it with the process of how much of your mind energy you pour into these negative thoughts. And if you don't like that experience, that emotion, you're free to change it. You're free to change how you focus your mind energy. And once you've been exposed to a tool like the Reality Management Worksheet or the Mental Short version of it, you can do that all day, every day if you choose to, and just keep moving from one negative emotional experience into one period of lower energy or calm or peace, and demonstrate to yourself you are literally creating your experience of life. And we encourage people to do that soon and often. Why? Because in our experiences improves their quality of life. It also feeds into the fact that all of the great spiritual teachings tell us we're not separate. We're connected. We're connected to everyone and everything. Here we are in lesson 25. It says, you remain as you are created to be. And the text reads, now we begin. Because now, this present moment, is the only moment we have. Beloved and holy friends, again, a reminder, you are an equal to everyone you ever meet. Every thought you have about somebody else is worth more than you or higher than you or lower than you is a false thought. It's part of what we want to use the tool of forgiveness to dismantle, because it's a negative perception. If it has separation in it, it's false. We come forth to abide with you as we initiate the third and final part of this formal information in the way of mastery. The third and final part is called the way of knowing. This information will, as time unfolds, be shared with millions. We have chosen to entitle this last group of lessons the way of knowing. What then is required for true knowledge to exist? How does one live in whatever dimension of creation when they abide in true knowing? Beloved friends, that which is required for true knowledge to pervade the whole of one's consciousness is simply this. Boy, there's a lead-up sentence, right? Better hold your breath, better brace yourself, because that which is required for true knowledge, not just a little bit on your left pinky finger, but to pervade the whole of one's consciousness, is simply this. You must wake up to the fact that not for one moment have you ever lived life. Rather, in truth and in reality, capital L life, which is but capital L love, as it has come streaming forth from the source of all creation, has sought to live as you. You are the extension of the creative energy in form. Some would say you are the extension of love in form. Some would say you've never been born, you will never taste death. Some would say you shine forth as a sunbeam to the sun. Some would say you are the effect of the Creator's love, and you stand where you are now to bless all of creation. The text goes on and says, never at any time has there actually been a false self. Never has there been a time in which something called the ego actually existed. It's a dream of separation. It's the dream of the ego. It's the dream of the ego holding itself as more important than someone else or something else. The text says, you've heard us say many times that what is true about you is true always, and that you remain as you are created to be. You remain the thought of love, perfect love, expressing in form. You emanate from the mind of the Creator, just as a wave emanates from the ocean. The great secret of your human existence, indeed the great secret of the many journeys you've taken, is that they have existed nowhere except within the movie screen of your own mind. Does this mean that your dreams have had no effect? Within the dream itself, as long as you choose to be identified with it, you will experience the effects of the choices you have made. And yet, as the heart has touched purification, and as you have truly been willing to allow transformation to occur, all that matters and must be remembered is that you, as you thought yourself to be, never truly existed. It's been a smokescreen. It's been a chimera. It's been an illusion. Knowledge then consists of the crystal clear awareness that while creation streams forth from the mind of the Creator, you cannot find the place that a separate self began. And you've absolutely no knowledge of where your end will be found. In truth, you do not know what is going to unfold in the very next moment of your experience. This can only mean, since you do have the next moment of experience, that something else is living you. In the beginning of the journey, there must be desire, for no one can come unto the Creator without it. For just as you use the energy of desire to dream the dream of separation, that which closed your heart and that set you on 1,000 useless journeys, propelled and compelled by fear, by judgment, and by doubt. Likewise, desire has been necessary for you to be willing to face your illusions and to look more deeply at your judgments and to see that they can have no value except that which you have extended unto them. It has indeed required desire for you to want to awaken. Now, desire, in this book, lesson 4, the entire lesson's about desire. Desire in this book is not the desire that I create with my mind and my ego that says, boy, I really want that person at this party, and I want to date them, and I want to marry them. That's not what we're talking about. That's my conscious, logical mind believing it's looking at something outside of me and believing that I need that to create a certain feeling inside of me. That's not the desire we're talking about. The desire we're talking about here is the actual energy of life in creation that wants to express uniquely through you in this moment. You didn't create that desire, just as you didn't create yourself. You don't know where that desire originated from, just as you don't know where you originated from. You didn't create the desire to awaken. It arose within you. It was implanted there in the moment, in the instant, that there was a dream of separation. There is only the one mind. Everything is connected. The dream of separation is just a dream. It's never happened. You don't get credit for wanting to know God or for wanting to reunite with all of creation. There's no big reward coming to you when you do that, except the act itself is its own reward. And the impulse to do that is not yours. It's implanted in you. This says, as you have used the power of intention to continually etch into the mind the beliefs and perceptions that are the very foundation of the dream of separation, so too have you learned to use intention through time, which is your creation, time is your creation, in order to awaken from time and from fear. Just as you once used the power of allowing to give permission to the creations held within your mind to seemingly and apparently take form in front of your eyes, and then you've allowed their reality to become so deeply entrenched that literally worlds have been birthed from it in your own experience, so too have you needed to use the allowance in the process of transformation, allowing yourself to feel what you did not want to feel, and allowing yourself to see differently what you had once insisted could only be seen in a certain way. Allowing has been the very field from which all forgiveness that you have learned has sprung forth. So if you don't extend allowance, you contract, you judge, you pull back from, you create the dream of separation, the experience of being separated, you create it even more. If you move into allowance, you drop resistance, you drop judgment as soon as you realize it's there. And this allows you to experience the flow of life more fully, more deeply in each new present moment. And that's what's needed. Allowance as a key to the kingdom. Allowance as the key to moving out of your pained life experience into the blissful experience of being in the flow of life or being within the kingdom, as this work says. The text goes on and says, allowing has been the most central of keys in the process of your healing and awakening. Allowance, allowing has been the most central of keys in the process of your healing and awakening. And this is pretty much the opposite of what our Western culture teaches us. We are taught to compete. We are taught to manipulate things. We are taught to bully people. We are taught to make our will, force our will to happen. Here's the exact opposite of that. In the text, in the ninth paragraph of Lesson 25, allowing has been the most central of keys in the process of your healing and awakening. For when you truly begin to touch the power of genuine allowing, you begin to taste the first levels of true freedom. You have learned that just as you have allowed new beginnings to occur, you've also discovered that you have the power to allow endings to occur within the field of phenomena you call, quote, the world, close quote. Yet I say unto you, surrender is the completion of the keys to the kingdom. Just as once you had need of surrendering to your illusions in order to identify the fundamental energy of your being with your illusions, just as you've had to live in surrender to even allow allowance, just as you have learned to rest in surrender even to allow intention, just as you have learned to rest in surrender even to allow desire to be made new within you, as you enter the way of knowing, the final surrender is entered. The final surrender is there is only the flow of creation. There is only God. There is only light. There is only love, capital L, love. The text reads, that is the surrender which is beyond the comprehension of all languages and theologies of your world, beyond all that can be spoken or uttered, yet not beyond what can be known, felt, realized, and lived. For in surrender, you look upon a perfectly harmless world, whether it seems to be outside of the body or within the body mind itself. You look upon the comings and the goings of the world, and you find that all things are of themselves perfectly empty. You look within and discover that no longer need you obstruct from the conscious mind, from your awareness, what the body mind has experienced from moment to moment since its conception. No longer is there an obstruction to the flow of experience. I allow all things. I trust all things. I embrace all things and thereby transcend all things. No longer is there a self seeking the Creator. Where and when that self has been surrendered, the mind awakens to the simple reality that there is only the flow of life. There is only creation. There is only the one mind. And you are that one. As you seek to find words to communicate to yourself, or perhaps to another, the great wonder, the great mystery, the great truth, the great simplicity of awakening into true knowing, as you seek to find the words for that, you will strive to find a way to communicate. As I have tried to find ways to communicate with you, you will seek to communicate with your brothers and sisters the truth that there is only the flow of life in creation and that we're all one. And yet power of the mind to perceive yourself as the created, which in truth you are. For creation gives rise to creation looking back upon itself. Mystery of pure content gives rise to temporary form in order that the pure mystery might be apprehended, comprehended, experienced, interacted with. You are then the very process whereby that one, the one mind, who alone is without a second, creates the temporary form through which that one apprehends, comprehends, and interacts with and knows itself. You are that one that is the perfect effect of mystery that would pour forth of itself and make visible what is visible, to birth through time and form that which cannot be contained within it. Because love is unfathomable. You cannot control it. Love is vast beyond all measure. You cannot contain it. Love cannot be possessed. It can only be allowed. Allowance is a key. Allowance is the most sent keys in the process of your healing and awakening. Therefore, indeed, beloved friends, the very keys whereby you once used the power of your own mind to create the illusion of a separate self, these are the very keys utilized by your own mind to awaken you to the truth that you have never been. There is only and always this mysterious moment, and all things have been birthed from perfect mystery. There's a quote they suggest, quote, "The awakened mind, awakened from false arrogance, looks upon all things and says, quote, I am that one. I am that. I am that. I am that. I am everything that I look at. I am everyone that I look at." And yet, when you say that, no trace of separation or duality exists, for you are not apart from all things that are arising. The wind that blows through the trees, the wisps of a cold winter rain, the warmth of the sun upon the skin of the body, the embrace of a lover, the laughter of a child. The awakened mind that abides in perfect knowing no longer obstructs perception, feeling, the flow of thought, or the flow of experience. It no longer looks to see how it can make things different than what they are. It looks only and lives only from what it most truly wants, simply to abide in its own nature and to allow life, capital L life, to flow from that nature, dancing in the infinite myriad ways and displays of form. What then is required for true knowledge to exist? What is indeed required to abide in the way of knowing is to fully accept that not one trace of your seeking has ever brought you closer to God, closer to life, closer to reality. Not one modality has ever held the power to bring you closer to your Creator. Not ever could there have been truly possible for you to make progress toward the consciousness of your Creator. For all the while, you have been the one you are seeking, and you've been pretending to be a seeker. And for that reason, have you entertained the thought of separation? For what reason have you entertained the thought of separation? Simply this, to do it, to have the experience. For the mind of the Creator does not deny any possibility. It sees nothing that can obstruct the purity of its own nature. Forever, creation abides within itself, infinite, vast, radiant, and silent, the infinite field of pure knowledge, pure intelligence, out of which all things and all possibilities arise. That is why I once said to you, you have never looked upon another, for you see only your true self, capital S self. You cannot look outside of yourself and see anything except what your mind is creating. Your mind is creating everything you perceive. You have never been separate from the flow of creation. You've never truly been separate from your brother or sister. You've never been separated from the forces that have given rise to you. And you've never looked upon anything outside of you. You see only your true self. The text goes on and says, you're free to judge yourself by judging your brother and sister and thereby creating a form of experience. And even that form of experience is only the perfect reality of the Creator, because that is who and what you are. You are an extension of the creative energy expressing in form. That boggles the mind. That is something that we're asked to play with, to experiment with, to observe. So, got about 5 or 6 minutes left. 563-999-3581. Call that number. Press 1. Let us know how this is landing on you. So, I just had somebody text me, and I thought it might have been somebody from this show listening in, but it's somebody else who's asking for a copy of the Aramaic translation of the Beatitudes. So, this is somebody clearly who has been in our support groups before and has had a copy of that and has misplaced it. So now would like to have me send her a copy of the Beatitudes. I wonder, you know, the Beatitudes. From the ancient Aramaic directly into English, it's a whole world of difference. There's Dr. Michael Rice's translation of it that's available through the Enlightenment book that he sells on his website. There's also Dale Allen Hoffman, who has different versions of it that he's looked at. And there is the version that we have gotten, because I made a transcript of the work of the Beatitudes from J.M., the person who channeled the Way of Mastery. And that is more of an interpretation than a strict translation. For instance, the original beatitude from the King James Version of the Bible, from the first beatitude, is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And in James' work with this and his interpretation of it, he offers the following, quote, "Now is the ripe time," like the ripeness of a fruit, "the perfect moment to eat this fruit. Now is the ripe time to make your home in the breathing unity. And let the fertile soil of the queendom birth your clear guidance." And he talks about how there is no real accurate, reliable way to translate kingdom as though it's a male thing. It's a queendom. It's, and queendom not because of a female, but because of feminine. And in the feminine gender of a word, it means the experience of it, not the physical thing, but the personal internal experience of it. So when I blow on my hand and I feel the breath hit my hand, that's the masculine aspect of my breath. But the experience of my hand receiving something and how it stirs up energies and thoughts and emotions within me, that's the feminine. My perception of it is feminine. The actual breath leaving my mouth and hitting my hand is masculine. And the second beatitude reads, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And the interpretation that's offered by J.M. is, "Restored are they who allow their inner pain to surface. They shall touch the place where love carries them to greater wholeness." The third beatitude says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," from the King James Version of the Bible. And the interpretation that's offered from James' work is, "Having made soft what was rigid within," in other words, when you make your home in the breathing unity, you breathe and soften, and you allow yourself to have the pain that's within you surface and touch the place deeper within you where love carries you to greater wholeness, what's going to happen is you're going to soften what's rigid within you, and a new ripeness, a new potential for growth, expansion, and knowing of self shall bring forth renewed inspiration, and confident strength shall flow through you. So it's not exactly the same as blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, and blessed are the meek. It is more like, listen, when you're in tightness or tension or upset, take a breath and soften. Let the pain that's inside of you come to the surface. Put away everything you think you want, your trifling treasures put away, and leave a clean and open space for some new kind of guidance to arise within you. When you do that, you're on the path. Breathe again, soften, let the pain come up. Ask to be shown from some interior, more whole, more integrated wisdom and guidance. Let that, the fertile soil of the queendom, birth your clear guidance. And the more you do that, the better your life gets. So, we're all over the map today, but that's our show for today. Again, I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love. Everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. Appreciate you.
You're welcome and serving. Have a wonderful show.
Thanks. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. And today is Tuesday, October the 25th, 2022. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. And while we're waiting on Michael to dial in, I'll just remind everybody again, if you haven't checked your email, if it's not in your inbox, check your spam box, add us to your contact list so that it will land in your inbox, and look for the newsletter that we sent out Saturday. If you haven't gotten it, you can pick it up on the website. You can go under News and Newsletters, but you can also scroll to the bottom of the page at whyagain.org, and there's a link that says sign up to be in their mailing list. And if you click that, it will add you right in. And I'm going to welcome Michael. And Michael, while you're doing an intro, I'm going to check. I think we got an email question the other day, so I'll look at that while you are doing your intro.
Awesome. Awesome. Delighted. Thank you. Appreciate you, sweetie. And everybody, welcome. Glad to be having this conversation once again as we rock on. Of course, we are in Kansas City and getting to spend many hours with little Candy Jo, who's probably about 7 pounds now. She's been out of the wrapper for nine. Is she 9 pounds now? Oh, 9 pounds. Boy, she's half again her size in 5 weeks. That's pretty cool. Anyway, she's still pretty tiny and pretty awesome, pretty sweet to just lay on my chest and just hang out with her. In any event, we are here in Kansas City and really enjoying that and getting to be some support with her son and his wife and kind of getting their home through this this time of bringing a baby into the world and closing out the gardens for the winter. So we're getting to continue our garden work from Virginia to here and rocking on. And keep your eye out. We're actually going to send a supplementary newsletter. I'm working on it right now out of the newsletter that we sent out, particularly the Avison question about the Avison and forgiveness. And the Avison is a device that's about the size of a bread box. You put your hand in it, creates a vacuum around your hand, which distends blood vessels in the hand, and it actually, there's a heat exchanger in the palm of your hand, and it pours heat into the bloodstream. And when you warm the blood, when you raise the temperature, the core temperature, much as the shifts you hear people, who are long distance runners, they raise the core temperature. There's a lot of research on hot tubs and saunas in Sweden and such. That's a part of life. And basically regularly raising your core temperature shifts in major ways microcirculation. So you can go out and run for 3 miles, or you can sit in a hot tub and get nice and sweaty, or a bathtub, whatever. There are even drugs that they're using to raise the temperature. It has such a profound effect. There's an interesting study in, Discover Magazine from Loughborough University, and they spoke about the shifts in blood sugar and health from just spending time in a warm bath. And, of course, one of the things about doing all those other things is it's kind of messy, and people aren't going to do it. Not likely going to do it very often, where the Avison is specifically designed so that it does not cause your body to sweat. It stays just below the sweat threshold. And then all of the changes that take place as a result of the heat go into enhancing microcirculation rather than creating sweat and the sweat dissipating the heat. The heat's dissipated by the action inside of the capillaries in the body. And so it's pretty profound, and it's something that you can easily do. One of the most common pieces of feedback we get with it is that it enhances people's sleep immeasurably. I had one woman actually had another device that was about a $6,000 device. And she's like, I use this and it's good for microcirculation. I sleep really well. I'll try one. So she tried it. And literally the first night she called me the next morning and said, I thought I slept well. And I just had a night's sleep. I'm selling my Beamer and buying an Avison. So she got rid of it. And it made that much of a difference for her in sleep. But basically, the fact that you can do it 2, 3, 4 times a day and get the same result as if you went out and ran 3 miles each time, it's pretty profound. We have one friend out in Arizona who had several back surgeries, had a couple of surgeries done to cut nerves to try and deal with the pain. And he had a mother who lived out in California while he lived in Arizona. And for a couple of years, he had so much back pain that he couldn't couldn't get in his car and drive to see his mom. And about 3 months after he got on the Avacyn, he started using it. He actually got up to where he was using it 6 hours a day. He was pretty much debilitated in bed, but was able to start to get up and out and made the drive to California and back to see his mom. So it made that much of a difference in pain. It's pretty amazing, totally, completely side effect free, totally, completely natural pain management is one of the things it's approved for by the FDA. But as a medical device, the most profound impact I've observed over the last 2 years is that it's a physical form of forgiveness. So anyway, in response to requests for more information, I'll be sending out an article that I had written specifically about the device and a little more about what it does and such. So watch in the newsletter for that if that's of interest to you to learn more in that regard. And beyond that, of course, this amazing tool of forgiveness, and people tend to think of forgiveness as a religious thing. Almost everywhere, whenever they're like, oh, I'm not interested in religion. Well, actually, forgiveness can't really be explained in terms of religion. It can be properly explained in terms of physiology, psychology, genetics, and quantum theory, energy systems theory. It can be explained that way. And it's a device for accessing physiology from a perspective that we don't usually think of as physiological. And we talked yesterday about the coin. You know, I've got a $100 coin, and there's a head and a tail, and I want you to take the head away from the tail. You know, at what point, if you were to peel the head off of the coin, do you only have the tail left? There's no point, because the head and the tail are not two separate things. They are simply perspectives on one object. Well, your mind and your physiology are exactly the same. You can't peel the mind out of the body and just have a body left. You can't peel the body away and just have a mind. In the same way as if I look at the head of the $100 gold piece and I look at the tail of the $100 gold piece, I'm still looking at the gold piece. If I work on the head of the gold piece or I work on the tail of the gold piece, I'm still working on the gold piece. If I work on physiology, if I work on my mind, I'm working on the singular device called a mind-body nervous system. And once I recognize that that's true, then I can affect, and, you know, people call it miraculous when they get the body changing in response to what's happening in the mind. There's nothing miraculous about it at all. Oh, it takes physical things to impact the physical body. You don't have a physical body. Let's listen to Einstein one more time. On such things as matter, we have been all wrong. What we have heretofore called matter is energy. Energy whose vibrations have been so lowered as to be perceptible to the senses. There is no matter. Our eye makes what we call matter look solid and physical and real. But if it were solid and physical and real, a radio wave wouldn't go through it. There's nothing solid and physical about it. The appearance in the mind, the perceptual construct, is that it's something solid. Physiology is no more solid than your thoughts. Your thoughts are no more solid than your physiology. And they are one thing. Shifted on one level or the other. And what happens is, both aspects of it change because both aspects are identically the same, simply perspectives on the same event. And there's where the Avacyn comes in so powerfully, in that it enhances the flow of circulation. It delivers oxygen nutrition to a cell, and in delivering that oxygen nutrition, it also tends to clean up the wastes that tend to accumulate around the congested areas of the structure. You know, if you imagine you had a stream, it's a beautiful, cold, icy, clear, beautiful stream, and a tree falls across it. And over time, the branches, the leaves, the twigs gather around the tree and create a block in the stream. All of a sudden now you've got things growing there that don't grow there. You've got critters that don't normally go live at the edge of the stream or in the stream. They might come for a drink, but that's it. But all of a sudden, they're now integrated right into that stream. And now you get all kinds of organisms multiplying, and it becomes a swamp. A swamp is nothing but a congested stream. Your blood vessels, especially microcirculatory vessels called the capillaries, and the capillaries between the 10th and 100th the thickness of a hair, pretty fine stuff. And if the capillaries are shut down or blocked off, and all you need to do is go into fear for a moment or hostility, and the capillary structure starts to shut off blood flow to certain parts of the structure, the parts of the structure that aren't needed for survival. And if that happens long term, if that becomes chronic, then just like the tree that blocked the stream, there grows up a whole community of organisms and gunk, quite literally, that block the stream. Over time, what the Avacyn does is it goes in and it unblocks the stream. It softens the congested microcirculation. It softens the debris that's been trapped at the head of the capillary. You know, one of the things we teach is a workshop on intuitive development. And one of the things we do with the intuitive development workshop is we teach people to perceive through different energetic mechanisms than our normal five senses. And so, you know, I've shared with you before, there's a really awesome video on YouTube about a young man who, I believe he was at the age of 2, he had cancer in his eyes and lost both of his eyes. But his mother was determined he would see without eyes. And this kid, there's the video, I think he's maybe 8, 9, 10. And he's out riding his bike around the neighborhood. He plays basketball with the rest of the guys. But he doesn't have any eyes. How do you do that? His mother taught him to quite literally echolocate things. She taught him to make clicking sounds with his tongue and how to read the signals that came back. And from the signals that came back, you know, normally light comes into the eye, feeds information to the brain, and somebody's looking at, let's say, a garbage can and say, well, that's a garbage can. Well, this kid's walking down the street in the video. This is one of the things he does. He's walking down the street. He's doing his cooking. He says, oh, there's a garbage can over there. There's a bicycle over there. He can see based on the sounds that he makes. So there are ways to you can teach the mind to generate perception, accurate perception, other than through the five senses. That's one of the things we do in the Intuitive Development Intensive. About 6 months into using the Avacyn, I was kind of doing some still point breathing. I was on the Avacyn, and I got this visual. Again, you get information in different ways, and it was like a little guy with a hammer and a chisel going into a cell. This was the visual that I got going into a cell and hammering away at congested deposits in the cell. And that's physical forgiveness. When you start loosening that stuff up and allowing it to be taken up by the lymphatic system and removed from the structure, it's like the difference of night and day. You know, some of you maybe have been in intensives where I've told my story about, you know, being almost dead the first year of my life 4 or 5 times, and being told, my parents being told I wouldn't survive my birth. And about 6 months into using Avacyn, the lungs have always been my challenge. About 6 months into using the Avacyn, I've got my hand in it, and I take a breath, and it's like, oh, my God, this is the first breath I've had in my life. It's how powerful the shift. And, of course, the way that the oxygen gets to the bloodstream and into the heart to be circulated through the body is through capillaries, through these micro blood vessels. And that's what the device is designed to do. So as the debris is removed, you've got physical forgiveness going on. I'm sure anybody was asking those questions. If you're on the show, that's kind of where we're going with it. And I'm working on putting a deeper article together that we'll send out probably before the end of the day in a supplementary newsletter. So you're going to get to this month, a bonus. And beyond that, Miss Jeannie, you've got a question for us?
It was actually someone had written in and wanted an example of doing a worksheet on the app on fear. And it's like, okay, that's a little complex to explain. However, what I told them to do was I sent them the link to whygen.org and click on, you know, start your new life, and then click on the stress reality management wake-up sheets. And when you click on that, then it pops up. Of course, it's got first the seven-step that we usually use. And right below it, it has example one and example two. So there are actually examples on the website that you can click on and look at. And both of those happen to be, the first one was on a wake-up sheet on being scared and devastated and wanting to be loved and cared for. And the second one is on fear and scared and wanting loving, caring attention. So both of those are good examples for her on doing a worksheet on fear. And as far as the app goes, it walks you step by step. So, you know, if you click on it, the first thing it asks, you know, for you to put your name in and that you are love, and what are you focused on, what event and what person. It just walks you step by step and you answer the questions. And the app will maintain, like if you put in that you're doing a worksheet on Bill, then later when it asks, you know, what your goal is, it'll say for Bill. So it fills in blanks for you. And if you have, you know, the goal that you, you know, want to be, you want to feel safe, then when it gets down to canceling the goal, it will actually fill in that you cancel the goal to be safe. So the app will automatically fill in some of the things so you don't have to remember what was it that I said in number one or number three or whatever. But you do the app the same way you would do a written wake-up sheet. It's just you're doing it on the phone. So I think that's about as the best that I can explain or answer her question. So eventually, when I have time, maybe I can do some kind of a Zoom class or something and explain the app in more detail, but I just have not had time with everything else going on to video myself doing that. So anyway, so that's the only question that I've got, and nobody has a hand up. It's really quiet. So if you have a question, all you have to do is press 1, and it puts a hand up. Oh, a hand just went up. Are you there, Michael?
Let's say hello. I'm here.
All right. It's we've actually had two hands go up. The first one was area code 864, and you are on the air.
Hey.
Welcome.
Hey,
Joe Bryson.
That's right, Joe Bryson.
There you are. North Carolina trucker.
There I am.
If anybody needs a truck, this is a man to buy it from, right?
Carolina truck, and that's right. Yes, sir. You need a truck. You may call. Come on down.
Yeah, there you go.
Two things I wanted to share today was how powerful and grateful it is to hear other people and to be in doing this work with others and hearing and listening to them, because the I don't know what the feeling that I get when someone resonates something experience that they've had with, and it's something that I've had. It's oh yeah, there it is, and it feels really good. And it can be joyful. It can be, you know, challenging, whatever the issue is. But to to sit and listen is really nice. And
I hear you on that.
Before
you head into the other thing, I just want to throw out a thought. You know, one of the realities that a lot of people, I think, need to work through is the belief that this, I am the only one that's experiencing this. I'm the only one going through this, how could it ever be solved? When the truth
that's
is,
depression.
Not much difference between any of us. We're all having to do the same pieces of work. We all had parents. We all had, friends. We all had quote-unquote enemies and what have you. And so that, I think, is one of the comforting parts in the intensive as you're listening to people question and process and move through things. It's like, oh, yeah, I've been there, done that. I thought I was alone.
Mm.
And it definitely, I think, connecting with the energy of somebody else moving through something, I think, makes the whole personal internal process easier.
Yeah, it's some type of valve that gets opened, and in the mutual caring, loving, respectful way that this person is honoring me to. Hey, this was my experience. This is what happened here. It's great. It's almost like I love the question and answer part of the intensives, because you're going to get good stuff.
Right. There's a particular passage in the ancient scriptures where there's a woman who has this, what they call a 12-year issue of blood. Basically, she's got a period that hasn't stopped for 12 years. And it's a pretty tough place to be. And she gets the intuitive knowing that she needs support. And so the way they phrase it is, she knows if she could just touch the hem of his garment. And it doesn't mean touching a piece of cloth, but rather if she can be supported in her process by touching into someone who's moved through that, who's holding the space. And I think that's one of the things that happens when you're listening, you're doing that, self-guided, intensive, going through it on your own, is you're touching the hem of the garment of each person that's going through things similar to you, and it literally energetically empowers you. It strengthens the process and opens the space, and lets the resistance down.
Exactly, yeah. And speaking of resistance, thank you. The other issue is I could say I find it embarrassing, but on the other hand, I don't, because I am 63 years old, and not last night, but the night before, I once again revisited, maybe I was 7, 8, 9, 10, or any time between then and now. It's amazing, right? It's amazing the power of my blankets. I have a big, comforter, and that is like a force field. It's like a shield. And what I'm getting at is that as I was growing up, my mother would say, "Don't let the banshees get you." And even at this age now, I woke up two nights ago, and for some reason, they were in the room. The banshees were in the room. In my mind, I'm just like, oh, my gosh. And if I don't, thank goodness for a blanket, because the blanket is the key. As long as I have that blanket, they can't get me. You're laying there and thinking, oh, my gosh, this is such a silly thing but I'm actually, I'm admit here that it's scary.
Well, and of course, when you realize that fear has been instilled in a mind, and it doesn't matter if the child was newborn or 3 or 10, as you say, if a reality of fear is instilled in the mind, when that reality comes back into activity, produces it, and in the mind you can't tell the difference between a real and an imagined experience. And that's the kind of stuff that needs to be surfaced and forgiven. You know, it doesn't matter if it was something that happened, you know, a kid of 5 or 10, and of course for them it was very real. If it's never been moved out of the mind, I don't care if you're 150. If it comes up, it's going to be real.
There it is.
I mean, that's the way the mind works. And so applying forgiveness to that. Have you ever used a weighted blanket?
I don't. You know, I tried it, but I didn't give it enough. I should. Well, I mean, every blanket has its own, you know, what's the right word? Every blanket, any blanket, and every blanket has its own power. It's amazing how powerful blankets are. Ingest, but I mean, it's just
right.
Mine is nice and soft and light, and I bring it with me.
And Ari loves to use it too when she's at our house. I bought one about 3 years ago, and I love it. It's awesome. I use it. Like while we're on the road, I take it with me. I use it everywhere I go.
Yeah.
A weighted blanket is really a nice gift. It's there's something about it that physiologically, you know, they talk about an infant and you swaddle an infant, which is really wrapping an infant up fairly tightly. That infant has a level of comfort. I think it's a physiological thing. And a weighted blanket, to me, does the same thing. I love my weighted blanket.
Absolutely. It is that, you know, lesson that that I got back, you know, with the Banshees. And as long as I had that blanket with me, or any blanket, I mean, it's just, as long as every part of my body is underneath that blanket, I'm
covered.
You're covered. But,
right. But that's a good worksheet topic, because that's a fear that was instilled, you know. I mean, when you think about it, you know, one of the ways that we fall into the state of hypnosis is in the face of authority. And in the face of authority, there tends to be the uncritical acceptance of an idea. For me, that's the definition of hypnosis. You know, when the ancients, you look all around the ancient world, and the word they used was transcend. And that's been presented as transcendence, as kind of floating off in space somewhere. But if you break it down, what's it saying? Put an end to the state of trance. Get out of the reality structures generated by the mind that were instilled under the power of an authority that don't make any sense. But it doesn't matter if they don't make any sense. If they're in the mind, they're in the mind. And that's where forgiveness comes in. So you might want to do some worksheets around mom and those banshees and eradicate that hypnotic state, that hypnotic reality that when triggered into activity, it's as real as anything else the mind produces. And transcend was get out of the state of hypnosis. That's the kind of breath that moves the energy.
I began a letter this morning to my mom. So I'm working on that. And it's a worksheet, that's for sure. Did you guys
might
have a nice
a few
trip
involved there?
Unfortunately, yeah. I mean, listen, I got plenty of excuses, you know, as you know. I will avoid doing worksheets no matter what.
Well, you're the first one, Joe. I've never run into that before. Right.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Of course, never having had any resistance myself to doing a worksheet either.
Well, but of course. Exactly. Yes. Very nice. Very nice. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, just keep your eye out for those banshees at that time of year. So.
We'll do it. We'll keep our blankies handy.
Talk to you guys.
Hey, glad that going through that intensive is really serving you. That's awesome to keep hearing from you, Joe. Appreciate it.
It is. Thank you. Bye, Jeannie.
All right. Okay.
Bye, guys.
Have a blessed one. Okay, bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, of course, what Joe's talking about, he started just several weeks ago He bought the self-study codependence to interdependence intensive, which includes 89 hours of video and moving into the forgiveness process, communication, healing through relationships, codependence to interdependence. So if anybody's interested in that, that's a packaged self-study course that that you can purchase and do. And, of course, the radio show's here to support you with questions or any processing that needs to be done. By the way, the person who inquired about doing the worksheet on the app, if it's appropriate, if they wanted to call in, and you know, if there are specific questions about either the app or just doing the worksheet, that's what we're here for. Or if you need support and you want us to walk you through some parts of that or a worksheet, we're happy to do that. That's and there are at least 20 different radio shows where either Dr. Tim or myself or Jeannie has spent the full hour taking somebody through a worksheet. So there's a section on the website with those 20 different or 20 whatever, 1, 2, 3, whatever number there now, worksheets that we've done with people. And so each one has a different shade to it. So each of those, if you really want to be proficient, to become proficient at the worksheet, each of those has a different, you know, direction, a different take on the information, depending on the individual. So listen to all of them. And then I think we've got now 3 from the Hear My Voice book club. We've got 3 different worksheets that we've done on the Hear My Voice book club. So there's the video component as well, where we're walking somebody through the whole process. So if you need some support with that, there's where to go for it. And of course, if there are questions, here's where to come for it. So Ms. Jeannie, you've got another hand?
I do, and I believe it's Ms. Susan, area code 610. You are on the air. And to answer your previous question, Susan, no. Okay. Hi, everybody. Welcome to where you are. It's wonderful that you're doing a little grandbaby again. And those pictures of her are so cute. Yeah, she's great. So I have a question. Forgiveness means release another from the perceptions we have about them. And, of course, invitation to
that
do work.
That wouldn't be my definition.
Okay. So would you change it for me? That would be helpful right away. Okay.
Yeah. Forgiveness is how I release the perception that I hold from within myself about another. It's not about releasing them from it. It has the impact of releasing them from it, because once I've removed that projection, once I've removed that perceptual construct from my mind about something, I'm no longer energetically burdening them with it, just thinking about them with that perception, or you know, maybe verbally, you know, trying to force them to accept my reality about it. But that's a second, to me, that's a secondary effect. The primary effect is I have an energetic pattern in my tissue with which my system is being loaded down. And forgiveness is how I alleviate that energetic burden from my structure, which also, of course, is from my mind. So it frees me up. Secondary benefit is, yes, somebody else is going to be freed of that load as well. But the focus, once I really started to understand Yeshua's first century Aramaic forgiveness, like throughout everything, every thought, every fraction of a thought about somebody else being involved. Yes, people show up that bring those pained perceptions up for us, but the forgiveness process is totally, deeply, internally focused right down to and including cleaning out of my genes the energetic burdens of any form of hostility or fear that I carry within me.
Okay, that's very interesting. I can certainly understand and imagine taking out the hostility or fear, although I don't think I've cleaned all that out. I'm talking about 2 grandsons who seem to be heading for a cliff, particularly Luke, who has been living at home on the promise that he wouldn't use alcohol or weed Well, he began using his weed, but he doesn't get into these wild drunks. He gets pretty altered on it. But a couple of times now, more than a couple, he has used alcohol to the point where he goes into his alternate personality, where he's abusive to his mother and in total self-denial. And she finally said, all right, your stuff is going out on the curb on Saturday. It was Wednesday or something. So she gave him a couple of days to think about the consequences of what he had been doing. He wakes up sober
right.
the next day and says, I'm willing to go to a sober house. So the next step was he found one, but they didn't have a bed. He promised he would stay clean if he could be allowed to stay with her until the sober house opened up. Within the 2 days of making that promise, he got drunk again in cahoots with his younger brother over the phone. They egged each other on. They both got high, and there was another raging,
right.
nasty thing. And, of course, I'm perceiving this through my daughter's reports. I haven't seen this. I've seen it myself long ago
sure.
when Luke
right.
was living with us. So I'm having
right.
these perceptions. But you're talking about cleaning out my hostility and my fear. You're not talking about what I am observing, which seems like an actuality to me. And if I do observe accurately in actuality, I don't have to be a sucker or stupid and say, oh, well, you know, I'm going to love him, love him, love him, and I want to keep him comfortable. You've never said don't call a person to account if there's been bad behavior or something, and I know that. But I'm
100% the exact opposite.
Say again?
100% the exact opposite. One of the things that forgiveness empowers us to do is to have the courage to step forward as love and to hold people
mm-hmm.
accountable for their behavior.
Yeah.
So it doesn't pretend
mm-hmm.
something didn't happen, and it
right.
strengthens the ability to stand there and be the space for accountability.
Mm-hmm. Even in spite, in the case of Jacob, I've been in touch with him by text, and I remember sending you some samples of his belligerent text.
Right. Pretty
and
brutal.
They are, yeah, they've gotten that way again, and because he's defending Luke now, and he's calling Tim and me, and mainly his mother, abusive, and we've always done this. We've always ended up throwing people out. That's our solution. How wonderful you are, you know, and all these accusations.
Yep.
And, of course, here I'm doing my worksheets and my breathing and everything, and I'm not in good shape. This is just more than I feel as if I can handle, and yet I do understand. Dr. Tim read a couple of the Beatitudes, the Aramaic Beatitudes. Now, those are wonderful to hear. I guess I'm just telling you and asking for prayers because I feel as if I'm doing all I can to stay afloat. And we've got this fellow living with us who's, you know, he's been my teacher because I projected a lot onto him that I thought Luke and Jacob were probably doing. Denial, you know, Jeannie had admitted she had to do deep breathing from where she was because there was so much unwillingness to look at anything, but that's just not where he is. And to just allow him to be who he is and to be curious about it and find that life here is quite okay with him here and he needs this and so forth, and you know about that. So I'm learning that in a case like him, I really was projecting. I was fearing and projecting certain things that he really isn't, and I'm just getting to know who
right.
he really is.
Nice catch.
My two great boys. Yeah, I think it is. For a couple of days, I didn't know what was real at all. I just was, like, reeling from a sense of either unreality or new reality or different reality. I didn't even have words to call into the show, but then today we've been in this sort of, I feel as if it's a matter of life and death with Lukey right now. And my daughter is amazing. She said, Mom, I'm going into work and I have some things that I have to do there and I have to have my life. And I have a policeman coming at 4, it's today, 4 o'clock this afternoon. A policeman, parishioner, friend of hers, is coming to the house and going to take Luke away.
Where, we don't know.
He doesn't have a car. Doesn't have a car, and he doesn't have any money. What money he gets, he spends on his stuff, his liquor.
Right.
So, and it's still all everybody else's fault. Both of them see it as everybody else's fault. And I know that's a perception of mine, but I guess the place to interrupt it is staying in a space of love for them no matter what.
That's the key. That's the key. And when I can't do that, it's my work. And the sense I get as you're talking here, if I think back to some of our earlier conversations about the early days with your daughter's family, that you took a fair bit of abuse as these boys are dishing out with their mom and with you, the power person abuse that they took on from their power person, you received some of that abuse directly from their power person. And so it might be worthwhile with, you know, with the level that you're at, sounds you're at a new level of looking within, it might be worthwhile to dig out that new power person worksheet.
Yeah, I remember
from
that
the
very well.
Codependence Intensive. Yeah. You might want to dig that out, and I could really get detailed in terms of your interaction with their father. Your interaction from years ago with their father when you were the outcast.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Share with me what "old boy" means.
I haven't done that worksheet with it. I've done the simpler one with my Zoom group. We've worked on that. Less detailed power person worksheet. I know the one you mean.
Yeah, I get out that full 12-page worksheet and do one on him in relationship to yourself and see what you uncover. And I suspect you might find then that will trail you right into doing that power person worksheet on your early life, you know, family of origin power persons or power person.
I can feel it happening even as you talk.
It's calling you to the next level of that.
Yeah, okay. Good idea. I don't want to do it, Michael, but I'll do it.
I understand. I hear you. Yep. I understand. It takes a great deal of learning to say I'm going to open that veil, that barrier, and I'm going to process what's in there. It's courage.
Okay.
Breathing with you.
Thanks. It feels like being suffocated. Totally suffocated.
And if you tap in, if you just think back in your memory bank, has that level of suffocation ever been your experience in your life?
Yeah.
And if so, who with?
Well, it's very mechanical and very early, and I don't know what it connects to or why it comes to mind, but my mother's mother used to let me visit her to give my mother a break. Some of us little end of the family would go to the grandmother, and the grandmother had a humongo bed in the attic, and I got to sleep in that bed. And the first night I was there, I got lost in the bed in the middle of the night and was charging the bedsides, couldn't find the top, and was banging my head against the foot of the bed and, you know, all inside the blankets. And I was terrified, and she came running up and let me out. Now, that's just a memory. I don't know why that means anything, but it just comes to mind because that wasn't an ongoing situation.
Right, but think about the energy of that and how that energy impacts the child. And until that's removed, until that's forgiven, it lays in wait under the surface until something resonates it. And then it's like the energies from those kinds of experiences that are unresolved are then woven by the mind into the constructs, the perceptions of the moment.
There's a
line in the Course in Miracles that says, you may wonder why you must look upon your hatred and realize its full extent. Necessarily hatred in terms of love-hate here, but you must look upon the disintegrative energies you've engaged in and realize what happens. And if you look up that passage, and I don't have the quote directly, but it then follows up with, and the reason you must look upon it is because these things you're experiencing today don't stand on their own foundation. If you think about a tapestry, there are threads, perhaps, in this circumstance with Luke. There are threads of that being lost and banging your head, literally, energetically, that are woven into, I suspect that's why you're, as we, go back through the process, that's why you're having that memory come at this point, because there's some of the threads that are being woven by Luke. And I can imagine that Luke, I believe from what you've said about Luke, that when he's in his true self, he means every word he says about repentance with his mother and wanting to clean it up.
Oh, he does.
But when that pain gets moving, anesthetic's the only option for most people unless they're really ready to use the tools. It's like, oh, what I did last night was terrible and I'm so sorry. And I believe he means that 1,000%. But until he goes in and clears those threads out of his mind from his power person, when alcohol comes along and knocks out, one of the number one things alcohol does is it knocks out the inhibitors in the mind, the things that stop things from firing. And so all these things that have never been resolved start to fire. And it sounds like some of it, of what this whole thing is resonating for you, goes right back to that specific experience and needing to process out those energies. They're the underlying energetic patterns that, if we imagine, just to think about, let's imagine the perception of a moment, this tapestry that our mind generates is made up of 1,000 threads. There might just be 10 threads of that experience from being that small child and feeling lost and terrified and hurt, banging your head and hurt, and what do I do? There might be 10 threads of that in this tapestry of 1,000 threads. But if I never, pull those threads out of the tapestry remains intact to be resonated another day. Each time that I take the opportunity to do the next level of forgiveness, the next level of work, I might pull out 6 of the 10 threads from that experience. And the next time my mind goes in that direction, it's like, oh, gee, it wasn't that big a deal. But it was a big deal when all 10 threads were in there because of the underlying trauma of it. And that's the challenge. You've been really diligently doing this for a significant amount of time now, so you have the brain cells. But when you hand that to somebody like Luke or Jacob, they don't have the brain cells to say, well, why would I want to go and face that? Why would I want to feel that? Why would I want to deal with that? And of course, the answer is because the next time that starts to move in you, that's when you'll reach for your anesthetic, and that's when things get still crazier. You add another layer of trauma. Mm-hmm. Instead of taking away the threads, you add another 10 threads.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you have the brain cells and you keep pulling those threads out one by one by one, you'll come to a more capable space in the presence of Luke or your daughter or Jacob's trauma, you'll come to more of a space where there is no related trauma left in you to be resonated and form a construct in your mind. And that's where then you can be literal active present love and be there for them to reach for the hem of your garment for support, because you're solidly grounded in your being as love rather than things your mind is using from the past.
May I read something?
Please, Jean.
First of all, as I was looking for the actual Course in Miracles quote about looking upon your hatred, and then I scanned it real quickly, and it talks about covering. Joe talked about having his blanket, and Susan talks about her blanket. And so I think that there is a connection here on this. But anyway, the full thing that I read, it says, you may wonder why it's so crucial that you look upon your hatred and realize its full extent. You may also think that it would be easy enough for the Holy Spirit to just show it to you and to dispel it without the need for you to raise it up to awareness yourself. And yet there is one more obstacle that you have interposed between yourself and the atonement. We have said that no one will countenance fear if he recognizes it, and yet your disordered state of mind, you are not afraid of fear. You don't like it, but it's not your desire to attack that really frightens you. You are not seriously disturbed by your hostility because you keep it hidden because you're more afraid of what it covers. So I think the covers, the blankets, have a semblance here too.
Yeah. And what it covers is
right
the
on.
Mirror, right?
That's it.
Can you tell me the page?
Yes, and I'll put it in the notes, too. It's says it's, I'm not real sure how these read, but it's got like T13, which I think means it's in the text.
Text.
And then it's like part three, and it's chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, and it's actually titled Fear of Redemption. And it's like, you know, why would you be afraid of being redeemed? But
you have to look at what's underneath it and process through it. And thank you for finding that and reading it, Jeannie. As you read it, my physiology went into process, and I just moved through a whole lot of energy in my legs as you were reading. It was just like your voice was directly energizing things that were moving in my physiology. So that was perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
In fact, you could read that passage again.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's the fear of redemption. You may wonder why it is so crucial that you look upon your hatred and realize its full extent. You may also think that it would be easy enough for the Holy Spirit to show it to you and to dispel it without the need for you to raise it to awareness yourself. Yet, there is one more obstacle that you have interposed between yourself and the atonement. We have said that no one will countenance fear if he recognizes it. Yet, in your disordered state of mind, you are not afraid of fear. You do not like it, but it is not your desire to attack that really frightens you. You are not seriously disturbed by your hostility. You keep it hidden because you are more afraid of what it covers.
And remembering that hostility is always a drug. It's an anesthetic. It's always covering something up whenever it's there. Breathing with you.
My daughter called me this morning and told me the plan she had, and she said, Mom, I feel as if I'm banging my head against a wall.
That's exactly your memory of you being a child in the covers, trapped.
Yeah.
Oh.
I am aware of being afraid for the boys, but maybe that's also missing the point. I've worked a lot on my own fear and stuff, and there's plenty of it, but my deepest fear is that those boys aren't going to be okay.
I hear you. That's a big one. And the most powerful thing you can do is process through your fear, because fear is an amplifier for our creative process. Remember what Job taught us, that which I feared most has come upon me. In other words, fear is the energy amplifier that strengthens that energy in the creation. And I would suggest you do a very detailed worksheet on that memory of being a child at your grandmother's house and that fear, being lost, and process that through. You know, who knows when and where we hit the key in our own genetics, base for the future generations, and or for the past generations to be freed of that very thing. You know, we're never going to figure that out, but each piece that I process through personally opens a space not just for me, but for everybody in my bloodline. So noticing your physiology, if there's anywhere that you're tight as you think about that, as you're talking about it, breathing into that part of your physiology, letting it soften, letting it open, and letting whatever content, you know, before grandmother got there, how deep was the terror? Lost, don't know where I am, don't recognize where I am. You know, how deep was it? And can I breathe into it? You know, my gut soften, let my buttocks muscles soften, let my toes soften, wherever the energy stored, to breathe into it and let it open and let that energy come forward in the presence of love to be forgiven, to be removed. Some breathing with you.
It was breathing that was the terrifying part. Couldn't breathe.
And that may be part of where at times there's been a challenge when you're doing still point breathing. Part of what needs to be let loose of.
Right. Right. I don't want anybody messing with it.
Tell me more about what that means.
Don't tell me how to do it, how to keep my mouth, not to swallow or to swallow. That's too much. I'm just going freeform here.
Go for it.
They even have things like, my teeth are going to rot, they're going to dry out. I'm going to have cavities. Oh, boy. My mom used to fear that all her teeth fell out. She had had nightmares about her teeth falling out. Michael, this is going too far.
No, it's going right where it needs to go.
Yeah.
These are the threads that need to be pulled out.
Yeah.
This is forgiveness. And the show's winding down. It's going to cut us off. But
okay.
We're here breathing with you. Let all that
move.
Thank
you, Michael. And you too.
Right down to the very depth. to know that we're here to hold the space for you and with you and for those boys as well, and your daughter and her husband. Bless him for the burden he's carrying. Bless him for the burden he's carrying. It's horrendous.
Right.